Man, it's good to be with you this morning. It's good for us to confess together the provision of our Lord God. And that song fits so well with the series that we've been in. We've been in a series for the past several weeks, 3 weeks prior to this, called The Sound of Silence. And we've been working through our way through the book of Habakkuk. And you may have heard it pronounced Habakkuk. The jury's still out on which one of those is the correct pronunciation. I'm going to say Habakkuk. So we've been working our way through the book of Habakkuk, and we've been spending some time just digging into the Word of God there, and talking about how we respond when we're faced with really difficult or really painful circumstances. What do we do? Because that's exactly what was going on in Habakkuk's life. He saw, if you'll remember, he saw all kinds of sin and evil all around him, and his heart was getting discouraged, and he was crying out to the Lord, and he felt like the Lord wasn't answering him. And so all of the book of Habakkuk is about how do we walk through those seasons in our lives where we feel like we're not hearing from God, where we feel like something difficult and painful is happening, and we're not getting answers. And so so we talked about how we come before God openly, we come before God transparently, we express our concerns to him, and we do that honestly. He can handle our honesty, y'all. We talked about how we need to understand that God is working, God's moving, even though his purposes may not look like what we imagine, even though his timetable is not ours. He's still working, he's still moving. And then we also talked about how we need to remind ourselves of God's awesome majesty and might. Remember his character. He is mighty to save, you know. You can really go down a rabbit hole on YouTube. You know what I mean? Like, I, the other day I was watching videos of, you know, you guys know about these goats that, like, when you scare them, their legs go straight out like this and they just fall over. Have you seen those goats? So I need somebody to explain to me how those goats evolved to do that, right? Because I feel like natural selection would have taken care of that at some point along the way. I need somebody to explain that to me. I know there's probably a scientific name for those goats. I like to call them Golden Corral, okay? Because I imagine a couple of wolves saying, "Hey, do you want to go get some elk tonight? Nah. What about some deer? No. I'm really hungry. Let's go to Golden Corral, you know? Because whenever I growl, you know, all of the goats just fall over, and it's all you can eat buffet, baby. You know what I mean?" And sometimes I imagine what must be going on in the goat's head when it gets scared and it falls over, you know? And look, I know probably what's going on in the goat's head is, bah, bah. I know that's probably what's going on in the goat's head, but if it was me, I would be thinking, oh great, here I am again, paralyzed, you know? Here I am, and here comes the wolf, you know? Somebody tell my mom I love her. You know, that's kind of what I feel like would be going on in the head of the goat, you know? But as funny as that is, you should watch some videos of people going through a haunted house. You should watch that. That's what I spent like an inordinate amount of time doing this week, an embarrassing amount of time, to be honest with you. People going through a haunted house, some of them just fall over like a goat. One guy, this is my favorite, one guy jumped into the arms of his girlfriend. Like he leaped up and wrapped his arms and legs around his girlfriend, and she's like, oh, you know, trying to hold him up. Like, and so what happens though, what happens sometimes when you get scared, when you're really afraid, sometimes you act in ways that you would normally never act. You know what I mean? Like you do things where you're like, I don't even know if I'm in control of my body right now. And all of us know about this. One time, Carson was going out to her little play thing, her little play area in the shed, this little shed we had. When she was coming out, there was a frog on the door. And I don't know if you know about this, but frogs, when you scare them, they pee on you. Did you know that? So I didn't know that either. Here's what I do know. I saw my daughter. I heard my daughter. And then I saw my daughter running into the house like this. You know what I mean? She would never do that under normal circumstances. But when you are frightened, or when something really disgusting happens to you, I'm going to be in so much trouble for telling that story. When something really crazy happens to you, right? Like you feel like you're not even in control of your body sometimes. It's just like all bets are off. You know what I mean? And guys, this happens in my life all the time. Like whenever I'm facing something that's really painful, or I'm facing something that's really difficult, when I'm really stressed out, when I'm really anxious, when I'm really afraid, I will act in ways that are not consistent with my character. That I would never do those things. I would never act like that normally. I would never say those words to that person. I would never, you know, I would never speak like that to this person. But when I'm under stress, when I'm afraid, I go crazy sometimes. It feels almost like I don't have control. Anybody feel like that? Anybody ever been like that? I mean, if we're being honest right now, there's probably a couple of folks here with us this morning, and that's like the pattern that you're in your life right now. This morning, on your way to church, you just completely lost your stuff, and you said a bunch of things, and you're really, before I started preaching this morning, you were thinking to yourself, where did that come from? Who was that person? You know what I mean? That happens to us all the time. And when we're facing really painful, really difficult circumstances, anxiety, grief, despair over our situation, it's really hard to know what to do. It's really hard to respond the way that we should respond. It's hard to know how to do that. And so that's what's going on in Habakkuk's life. He just received this terrible vision from the Lord. I mean, God's judgment is coming. The circumstances that he's facing, there's evil in the land right now, and then God's judgment is coming. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it's the Assyrians. I mean, they're going to wipe everything out. And it's this terrible vision. And so it's overwhelming. What he's facing is overwhelming. But what he has done, though, is he's reflected on and remembered God's character. He knows the truth about God. So the question then is, what does he do? The question for you and I, what should we do when we're faced with really difficult, painful circumstances? Well, the first thing that we're going to see in this passage, the first thing is that we need to surrender completely. The first thing that we should do is surrender completely. So let's look at Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 16. Here's what it says in verse 16. This is what the Word of God says. It says, I tremble. So Habakkuk just received this incredible vision, right? He just sang this song of praise to the Lord after that, this song declaring God's majesty and everything right after that. And he has this amazing vision of the Lord marching across the land and lightning flashing in his hands and all this amazing, unbelievable stuff, right? And then he gets to verse 16. After seeing a vision of the majesty and the power of the Lord God, this is what it says in verse 16. I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. So Habakkuk was confronted by the majesty, the power of the Lord God, and in the presence of the Lord God, he is overwhelmed by awe and by reverence. This God who lightning flashes in his hand, right? That's the God standing before him. And so the first thing is his heart pounds, right? He's filled with reverent fear of God, understanding how huge and massive and glorious God is and how small and insignificant and frail he is, right? He's filled with a reverence for God. He's aware of his unworthiness to even be in God's presence. He's unworthy of God's action in his life at all. And so my prayer for you this morning, my prayer is that you would receive a blinding vision of the glory of God. That vision would fill your view completely, and that in his presence, you would understand his might and his power in relation to your own frailty and to your own weakness. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me this morning. And then it says his lips quivered. Let me take you back, right, to the first week when we started this. This whole thing began with Habakkuk expressing his complaint to God. Remember? He's like, God, I keep saying, violence, violence. Look around. How long do I have to look at this? How long do I have to view all of this stuff that's going on? How long will you not answer me? So the whole thing begins with Habakkuk expressing his complaint to God. And then at the end of this, though, after he's in the presence of the majesty and the glory of God, he just lapses into stunned silence. He can't even talk. His lip is quivering, it says. What can he say? What can he say when he's confronted with the majesty and the glory of God Almighty? What can we say? Can we instruct God? Can we tell God what to do? Can we give him advice? Can we make demands of God? You know, when we understand who God is and who we are, when we understand that his will is perfect, right? His purposes are gloriously good. That's what we know when we understand who God is. And so at first, Habakkuk complained about God's silence, but now he's silent. God's presence reveals to us all that we do not know and all that we are incapable of doing. Let me say that again. God's presence reveals to us, not completely, but gives us a glimpse of all that we're incapable of knowing and all that we're incapable of doing. And when that happens, the only thing we can do is just stand in worshipful silence before God Almighty. So my prayer is that the presence of Almighty God, in his presence this morning, we would be humbled, that we would be reverent, that we would surrender completely to his will rather than lobbying for our will. Which, if we're being honest, that's what some of us are doing this morning. And then it says, my legs gave way beneath me. I love this because I've felt like that before, like a goat who gets scared, right? You can't even stand up. Your legs just kind of turn to jelly. Habakkuk's unable to stand in the presence of God. He's unable to run away from God. He's unable to move apart from God. He's just in the presence of God, and that vision, that reality is so overwhelming to him that he is paralyzed. He can't move. And my prayer is that this morning God's presence would cause us to fall humbly before him this morning. Some of us need for our legs to give way. We're standing on our own two legs, and we're proud of that fact, that we can stand on our own two feet. And so we've been standing on our own two feet in the face of all kinds of difficulty, in the face of all kinds of trial. And what needs to happen this morning, what needs to happen is we need to finally be confronted with our inability to do anything about our circumstances, with our inability to control whatever it is that we're facing. We need to be so overwhelmed by the glory of God and so humbled by who we are that our only response is just to fall down at his feet in worship. I got to be honest with you, I believe in our community, in our church, probably in a lot of churches, but in our community, in our church, one of the number one needs we have is we need for God to break us of our pride. We all feel pretty self-sufficient. We all feel like we can handle things. We got a track record of handling them. We're proud of the fact that we can stand on our own two feet. And what the Lord really needs to do to some of us this morning is just humble us. We need to know that we are incapable of standing apart from him. Before Habakkuk's vision, right, his eyes were filled with all the problems. You know, they were filled with all the evil that he was seeing all around him, all the anxiety that he felt, all the fear that he felt because of the evil that existed in the world around him. It's all he could focus on, right? But after the vision, the only thing he can see is God's glory. All of that stuff that he was so afraid of, all that stuff that he was so scared of, all of that stuff that made him feel like panicked, right? That made him feel even angry, all of that stuff faded away because God's glory is so beautiful and so vast that his fears could never even begin to match up to it. And I need for you to understand, look, I'm not trying to suggest, I don't want to minimize this morning, hear me. I don't want to minimize this morning what you were going through. I know that what some of you are facing this morning is real, and it is painful, and it is scary. I'm not trying to minimize that this morning at all. What I do want to remind you of, though, is that God is bigger, immeasurably bigger than whatever it is you're dealing with this morning. And if we could turn our eyes on Jesus, right, then the things of this world would grow strangely dim. If we could turn our eyes on Jesus, it would adjust our perspective and we could see the glory of God rules and reigns even over our heartache. Do you hear me? And we've got to surrender to that truth. Surrender to it completely. But the second thing we've got to do is we've got to trust ruthlessly. We've got to trust ruthlessly. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Okay, but in this book of Habakkuk, this passage is so important for us to look at. In the second half of verse 16, Habakkuk just finished telling you, my legs gave way beneath me. I shook in terror. And then he says this, I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. And listen to this, even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails, even though the flocks die in the field and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Do you hear that? What a powerful testimony to you and me this morning. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation of Aedes. Habakkuk understands his circumstances are dark and they're difficult, but his trust has been placed completely in the Lord. I know God's deliverance is coming. I know it is. I will wait patiently for God to deliver me. I know who God is. I know his character. I know what my relationship with him is. I will not be shaken. I will not be discouraged. I will wait. His deliverance is coming. And friend, I need you to hear that this morning. The promise of God this morning is that deliverance is coming for you. His rescue is coming for you. And what we are called to do is surrender to him and then trust his character. He will deliver us. He's faithful to do it. That next section, the fig tree, even if the fig tree doesn't bud, even if the grapes die on the vine, even if the olive crops fail, even if the sheep and the livestock die in the field, even if all of that happens, I will still rejoice. That's what Habakkuk says. Even if all of that happens, and here's what he's saying to me and you today. Even if there is absolutely no physical, tangible evidence in my life right now that God is good, that he loves me, and that his rescue is coming, even if there is no evidence that is real in my life right now, I will still praise God. I will still rejoice in God because I know what is true, and I trust him. Friends, that kind of trust is ruthless. Nothing will stand in the way of my relationship with God. Nothing will get between me and my faith. Nothing will cause me to back away from my trust and my faith in God. Nothing the enemy can throw at us, and we have a real enemy who wants to destroy and kill us. Nothing he throws at me will stop me from trusting in my God. And even if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, I'm not going anywhere. My God reigns. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Somebody needs to turn that corner of trusting God, but not just trusting God, trusting him ruthlessly. I won't let anything stop me. I won't let anything get in my way. My God reigns, and I know it. That's what's going on in Habakkuk's life, y'all. And I'm just going to tell you, I understand, when I'm telling you this, I understand how difficult this is. I understand how painful it is. I understand how hard it is to trust God in this way. I remember when Amy's sister passed away. She died from cancer. She passed away, some of you remember, she died on my first day at work here. And Amy had been living there for a month with her family, taking care of her and taking care of her family. She passed away as one of the darkest days of our lives together. I'm just going to be real with you. And on Father's Day, you know, I know my father-in-law, this is a tough day for him. It will be every year for the rest of his life. And we went to Melanie's funeral. And this young lady at Melanie's funeral, she sang this song. It's called New Wine. And yes, I'm a Baptist pastor talking about new wine, okay? Deal with it. She sang this song called New Wine, and the verse goes, in the pressing, in the crushing, you are making new wine. It's this confession that even though what I'm going through right now is heartbreaking, I know because God's promises are true, that he is working all things together for my good, even this. And I don't have to see it right now. I don't have to see it. I trust him. The bridge to that song says this, and I want to just read these words over you this morning. I need you to hear these words. The bridge to this song says, so I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. And guys, I understand how difficult and how painful. I want you to imagine all of us gathered together. I want you to imagine Melanie's children at their church on that Friday singing those words to the Lord. We know how hard it is. We know how painful it is. We know how difficult it is to trust God ruthlessly. And look, I don't have any answers for you. I don't know why these things happen. I don't know why we have to go through difficult, painful, awful times like that in our lives. I can't answer that question for you. Here's what I can tell you. I have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. I have seen God create beauty from ashes. I've seen him turn mourning into dancing. I know God is good. He's good for you this morning. He's doing something good in your life right now, even though you can't see it. I know it's true because it's happened in my life. I know it's true because he promises it in his word. We trust God ruthlessly. But that's not the end of the story. Listen to this. We've been reading this passage as our benediction the past several weeks as we've been in this series. But here's what it says. Verse 19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. And the first thing I love in this passage is it says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? We don't have to depend on our own strength, y'all. It's not up to us to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. It's not up to us. Right? To power through whatever the difficulty is. It's not up to us to take it on the chin, to grit our teeth, to bear it. It's not up to us. The sovereign Lord is our strength. Our strength comes from the Lord. And if we know that's true, if we know that God's strength is what is filling us, is what is moving us, is what is empowering us, then I've got to ask you a couple of questions this morning, and I need for you to answer them in your head honestly. Listen, is there anything in our lives that can overcome the Lord God Almighty? Is there? Is there anything that you're facing right now that is greater than the Lord God Almighty? Is there anything in our lives that commands the Lord of hosts? Friends, the answer to all of that is no. All of it is no. His power is greater. His strength overcomes. And you and I can know that this morning. We can know that. Nothing going on in our lives is stronger than our God. And he is our strength. I want you to hear that this morning. But also listen, the image that Habakkuk uses here is a deer. I don't even know the name for it, but it's a deer that lives in the mountains, right? And it runs around on the mountain. You guys have seen videos of these things. They're amazing, right? They can stand on the cliff sides, right? And they can run and jump on these really steep surfaces and really steep inclines. And it's amazing to watch them. That's the image that Habakkuk uses here. And he says, look, God has made me as sure-footed as a deer. And here's what I want you to know. Even though the ground beneath you may be uneven, even though it may be rocky, even though it may be steep, even though it may be dangerous, here's the promise of God for you this morning. You will not slip. You will not fall. He will make you as sure-footed as a deer. That's the promise of God for you, no matter what you're facing. God guides your steps. He makes you able to navigate, friends, even the crags and the canyons. So run. Jump, man. Fly into whatever it is that God is calling you to do, even in the midst of your pain, even in the midst of your difficulty, right? Even in the midst of fear and anxiety, run and jump with God, because your feet will not fail, according to God's word, when we're moving with Him, when we're empowered by His strength. We can move confidently. So look, that's a lot of really good stuff. But what does that look like in my life? What am I supposed to do in response to all of that? Well, let me just say, this morning, there are some of us who have been trying to stand on our own two feet, and we've been trying to weather whatever the storm is. We're exhausted, we're worn out, we don't know if we can take another step. This morning, it's time for us to surrender that to God. It's time to lay it at His feet. We can't carry it anymore. We never could carry it to begin with. And it's time to lay it at His feet. And I don't know what that looks like for you. But here's what I am going to say. I've told you already that some of us, our issue is pride. Some of us, our issue is admitting that we actually need God's help or anyone's help. Many of us, that's where we're living today. And today, I'm just going to say this right out loud. Some of us, what God's calling us to do this morning is He is calling us to just to head over here to this door right over here. There's a sign that says, "How can I pray for you?" Some of us need to go over there and we just need to admit with our mouths, "I can't do this. I need someone to pray for me. Please help." Some of us need to walk down in front of every person. And we're doing this morning, old school, baby. This morning, some of us need to walk down these aisles and we need to fall on our face at this altar before God in front of every person in this room so that every person in this room can see us saying, "I'm not strong enough. I can't do it. I need the Lord God's help." And some of us, that's what we need to do this morning. God is not just rescuing you. He's not just healing you. He is removing our pride from us. And some of us, it's time for our legs to quake. That's what God wants to do. It's time for us to admit that we can't stand on our own. Who's going to do that? Who this morning will have the courage to admit that? Some of us, we just need to trust God. Right now, the question that's rolling around in your mind is, "Brad, I hear you, but I'm having trouble right now trusting and believing that God is good, that He does love me. I can't trust Him with these circumstances because I can't trust that He's good." And this morning, and I got to tell you, it's an act of will. There's not any evidence that you can point to. There's nothing, you know, right? Sometimes you just have to say, "You know what? I choose to trust the Lord God. I choose to trust Him." And it's an act of will for you to place your faith in Him. And some of us, that's where we are today. We need to do that. Here's what I can tell you. He is worthy of your trust, and He will not fail. Finally, some of us, there are fears that are keeping us right now from being able to live into God's calling for our lives. We're afraid of tripping. We're afraid of falling. The cliff looks really, really steep this morning. And we need to be reminded, God guides our steps. He'll make us as sure-footed as the deer. And some of us this morning, there's something that you're thinking of right now that God's been leading you to do, and you haven't done it because you're afraid. You're afraid of failure. You're afraid of falling. And this morning, what the Lord God is saying to you is, remember who I am. Remember who guides your steps. And you need to just cry out to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness for not following Him this morning. And then take active steps beginning right now today to step into what God has for you today. So look, I don't know where you are this morning, but here's what I do know. I know that the Spirit of the living God is here, and I know He's moving. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up here. We're going to have some music, and we're going to sing a prayer to the Lord God that I'd be happy for you to join me in singing. But this time is not about singing. This time is about God allowing God to examine our hearts. And we don't want to sing this prayer that we're about to sing if we don't mean it, if we can't say it honestly to God, if we're not allowing the Lord to use these words to move in our hearts and to speak to us. So I'm going to pray. Stand up with me. I'm going to pray. And then as the music plays and as we sing, you follow the leadership of the Lord God Almighty. Whatever it is, don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity to allow him to deal with you and with your heart. Pray with me. Father, we love you. God, you are so good. And the truth is, we know that. We know it. It's hard for us sometimes to remember because we're frail people and we get confused and we get lost and we get anxious and afraid. But God, we've seen evidence of your goodness. We know that you're good. And this morning, Father God, we just need you. Speak to us. Break us of our pride this morning. Give us the courage to trust you. Help us to surrender our fear to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.